Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, marketers. Today with me, I have Owen Video. He is an online video consultant specializing in small business growth. Say hi, Owen.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
And is Video really your last name?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Video is not my real last name, but my real last name is so complicated that it's only going to mess things up. So I changed my name to Video in a marketing decision a couple of years ago.
I actually know a lot of people in the marketing space that use different last names. So I just wanted to, you know, I was wondering.
It's a fair question. I think it adds a lot to my credibility. You know, they say, well, who is this guy using a weird last name, making up a last name? They say, is it like Cher or Madonna? And I go, no, please don't put me in that route. It really came down to this, Tom, is people would say that Owen guy, right? Or they'd say Owen Habadi Habahubadi Hubadiba. What was his last name? And so we wanted to make it easier on our customers to get a hold of us. And that way we changed the name to Owen Video, and it's been a blessing for the company. It's also been a real blessing for our customers.
Maybe I'll change mine to Tom Marketing.
I like it.
That'll be a good one. You know, I brought you on to talk about YouTube. You know, YouTube videos.
Awesome.
It's not easy for me or for most business owners to create another channel to talk to people, even though we all watch YouTube, you know, I use it more by doing advertisements in YouTube.
Sure. Right?
It's so, I would say, compared to Facebook, it's an open field.
You know? Yes.
Yeah. So I really love it for that. I love the in-stream videos. I love the banner ads. They're cheap. If you make them right, they work. But
yes, that's right. Yeah.
But they're not free.
They're not free. And you know what? That's a good thing because everybody is competing in the free space. You know, there's this fantastic book called Blue Ocean. And in Blue Ocean, the author writes about how all the sharks are sort of in the middle of the water, right? And this is the red ocean area, right? It's all the food's there. Everyone's competing for the same fish and there's blood in the water, right? Instead, we seek for that blue ocean strategy. We want to go where our competitors simply aren't going. We want to look at that area that says, hey, it's a little bit harder for people to get involved here, so there's less competition here. And that's exactly what the YouTube advertising space is. It's blue ocean. That's why the ad costs are so low. Because there's inventory, right? There's inventory. And as the law of supply and demand says that, hey, if there's inventory without buyers, then you're going to get really, really great prices. And that's exactly what's happening with YouTube ads, whether it's an in-display ad or a pre-roll ad. You're able to get these things seen by a very targeted group of people for really just pennies. Those pennies add up over time to give you a ton of exposure, which results, even if your ad is converting poorly, you should still be able to eke out a return on your investment. And if you get even better at it, you'll find even more results coming your way. So the YouTube ad space is a great space for any marketer to start playing in. And on my channel, we cover a lot of tips and tutorials on how to get better at it.
So when you coach people, do you coach them mostly on creating free YouTube videos or on the ad creation?
You know, that's a great question. We do both. We take a multifaceted approach. Organic has a lot of value because with organic, you're going to rank for keyword terms. You're going to rank on Google. You're going to rank on YouTube itself. And so you want to be playing in that space so that when you're customers, when your target prospects search your keywords, they find some of your results at the top of the list. Here's the problem, though, is that's going to take a long time. It could take 6 months for a video to even start to pick up steam. That's if you even optimized it properly, right? So we take a multifaceted approach where my clients, they first come on board and we develop an organic program for them first. It's the first thing we do. But the first thing we start producing, get this, we develop the organic plan on paper, but the first ad we produce, the first video we produce is an ad to stimulate sales. And we do that so that you've got this new ad, I want to say ad revenue coming in, right? Money that's coming in from ads that are making sales on YouTube. You've got that money coming in while you're developing your organic program. And so there's this easy win, and that easy win's the wrong word, but there's this win that you get right off the bat with the ad. You continue to build organically, and that's sort of how to begin a YouTube marketing plan.
Because I'll tell you my challenge here. I love the organic part, right? But mm-hmm. then my 80-20 brain, it looks at someone that's been doing great in organic, and I look and I go, well, I can just target his videos, the best ones that perform for him, sure. and only put ads on those. And so I'm pretty much jacking all of the work that this person's done for, like yeah. you said, pennies on a dollar.
Yeah, and that's a brilliant strategy. You know, that's exactly how we do it, you know. And just to clarify, for anyone in the audience who may not understand, you take a look at the YouTube videos that you wish you were yours. You know what I mean? You look at these videos that your competitors did or that a sideline company did, and you go, oh man, you know, those are great. I wish I would have made some of those videos. You know, number one, you want to make your own version of those videos, and that's a good idea. But number two, you want to run ads in front of those videos, and you can run ads in front of those videos specifically, right? So if you're a furniture salesman, or you're running a furniture store and there's some great furniture videos that are ranking, you can run your ad right in front of those videos, or you can run it, you can run your video sort of on the side of that video so that it appears on the related, like it looks like it's in the related video section. These are great strategies, right? Because you want to be targeting people that are going to buy, that are most likely to buy. The other part of that is this. So you can target channels and you can target videos that where you believe your target market's going to be. But you can also do it organically where you're, let's say somebody's got a video called, you know, the best furniture in Cincinnati. You could make a video called the best custom furniture in Cincinnati or the best affordable furniture in Cincinnati. And what you're doing is you're sort of tricking the YouTube algorithm, and tricking is really the wrong word. You're leveraging the YouTube algorithm, which seeks to put like videos together. So by titling your video similar to a competitor video, you're actually increasing your chances of that video getting seen by the same people who are watching the competitor video. And that works for ads. It also works organically. And what you've got to do is decide as a marketer is decide which plan is best for you. Start with one plan. And then move forward from there.
So what SEO tricks do you guys use for ranking these videos? So when someone's coming up with a video and they put the headline, best affordable furniture in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
Like what else goes in there to make sure that this YouTube video ranks?
Great question. You know, when it comes to ranking a video, you want to have a title that leverages a long tail keyword strategy, right? A long tail keyword strategy is pretty well known, pretty common now, but you know, the old model was sort of like you would rank for furniture stores Cincinnati. But a long tail model is you're going to use a longer keyword phrase that somebody might be typing into Google. That, for example, that might be the best affordable furniture in Cincinnati or the most modern furniture in Cincinnati. And what you're doing is you're adding sort of these emotional triggers onto a standard keyword to make your title to provide more of an incentive for your viewer to click. What we do is we arrange our titles in a two-part structure where the bulk keyword goes at the front, at the left-hand side most of the title. That's where the keyword phrases goes. Like maybe it's a furniture store Cincinnati, right? Then you might put dash where to find the best furniture in town. right? So you might make five videos. Each of them begin with Furniture Store Cincinnati dash. And then after that dash, that's where you're sort of adding these more longer tail keyword phrases. And these keyword phrases could be additional keywords, right? It could be also more emotional triggers. So Furniture Store Cincinnati, where to find the best deals in town? Furniture Store Cincinnati, the best furniture deals for living room sets, and so on and so forth. And what this allows you to do is to rank not just one video for your keyword phrase, but a large variety of videos for your keyword phrase. And there's a lot of value in this because so many creators, both professional creators and business owners alike, and I separate those two because a creator is somebody a creator is somebody who wants to get their revenue, make their money, right? From what's called AdSense. And that is, you know, videos get so many views and the creator gets so many dollars. A business owner, an entrepreneur, marketer is going to make their money off of conversion, off of somebody seeing that video and then clicking on a link or opting into a landing page. So what you want to do is you make this video and you're thinking, okay, this video is so good. The keywords are so good. It's going to rank and I'm going to make $1 million this year on this video. And what happens? You launch the video and nobody cares. Nobody sees it. Nobody talks about it. In fact, your own mother is embarrassed for you. You know, it's one of these situations. When you make five videos that each sort of carry the same keyword tags in them, keyword phrases and keyword tags, then what you're doing is you're increasing the likelihood that one of those videos will actually make it to the top of the Google and the YouTube SERP pages, right? The search engine ranking pages. When that happens, now you're in business, right? Because now you're going to get views year over year over year until somebody bumps you off. And the good news is you made five. So if you get two or three of those videos on the homepage, now you're in a really strong position. You can move on to some new keywords and start to expand out. So having a great title is absolutely key for getting ranked on the search engines. It's also key for being found next to videos of a similar nature. The other part of that is adding your tags. YouTube allows up to 500 characters in your tags, okay? And your tags should be extremely relevant. So going back to our furniture store example, if you're doing furniture, right, what the tendency is to do is say, you know, best furniture store, you're adding these tags, and it's just like a tag you add on an SEO blog post. You know, you're separating these phrases with commas, and you might put something like furniture store Cincinnati, comma, furniture stores in Cincinnati, comma, furniture stores or couch stores Cincinnati, living room sets Cincinnati. And you're trying to keep those tags as extremely relevant as you can. What a lot of business owners will do is they'll start to think, hey, why don't I expand out on my tags and say something like best furniture deals, right? And now what you've done is you've actually changed the noun. You've changed the main subject of your video from furniture store to furniture deals. And those are two separate silos. Those are two separate categories right there. So you want to have a strong title that is reinforced by a series of tags up to 500 characters. And you don't need to use all 500 characters if it starts to water down your message. Just use 300 characters, use 250 characters. It's much better that you launch a video with extremely hyper relevant tags in your video that match the title and that correlate to the main keyword that you're trying to rank for. Follow that strategy, and you're gonna have to do it 10 times before you get it right. Follow that strategy, and YouTube will be a major profit center for you.
What about the video itself? Would you say the keywords in the beginning? I've heard there's some voice recognition.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to have, again, that extreme relevancy. In the beginning of your video, okay, so to answer your question quickly, yes, you want to be using your keywords over and over again in your video, not just in the beginning, but over and over again. Mm-hmm. And using them in the beginning is less significant than perhaps having a great hook in the beginning, right? And a hook might be 15 to 30 seconds of of maybe it's something you say, maybe it's something that you you're doing, maybe it's a quick story, but the hook is designed to bring the viewer into the full video, right? So most of your viewers, or a lot of your viewers, will watch the first 15 seconds and decide if they're going to invest the remaining 4 minutes into your video, or maybe 8 minutes into your video, however long it is. So your video should open up with a hook that maybe explains the problem. Says, hey, does this sound like you? You've got a brand new apartment. You don't need, you don't want this cheap overseas furniture. You want something that looks really nice, but everything's so darn expensive. Hey, I'm going to show you a few things today that you probably didn't know about. So stay tuned. Right. And then you move into the rest of the video. So what you've done is you've immediately identified the need of your target viewer. And your target viewer goes, oh, you know what? That's exactly me. It sounds exactly like me. In fact, my wife and I just did a video on Facebook. It was a live video, but we still use the same hook, approach. And we opened up with that same thing. Hey, does this sound like you? Right? You're eating healthy. You're exercising, but you're still not feeling up to par. Well, hey, we've discovered why that might be something you should be concerned about. We're going to talk about it right now. And what that does is that helps, again, people say, oh, this video is for me. And you know what, Tom? We had so many people at the bottom of that video in the comment section going, that sounds just like me. That sounds just like me. Now, as they continue watching the video, they might disqualify themselves. They might go, okay, that's not me. That's not me. But this is me and this is me. What it does is it earned you watch time. It earned you maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes of watch time. And that watch time is what is going to continue to get your video to surface, right? So you might have a great keyword title and you might have great tags and you might rank. That video might rank number one on the search engine ranking page. But then when people start clicking on it, within 15 seconds, they're clicking off. Well, guess what? YouTube is going, uh-oh. This video is actually sending people away from YouTube. So what we're going to do is we're going to pull this video down, or we're going to knock it down into like the number seven spot on the homepage. So what you say in your video is important, not just for the keyword ranking and optimization, but also for the watch time, which is going to earn you the right to stay on top of the search engine rank page if you make it there.
What do you think about the length of the video? Someone mentioned that you should have over 10 minutes for YouTube to take you seriously in the rankings?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because a lot of that depends on who you are and what you're making videos for. Now, I can tell you some top level stats. You know, YouTube is designed for vloggers and creators that are producing sort of like recurring episodic content, right? So a weekly show, and we see this with family vloggers, right? The Weiss Life is a great example. The Ohana Adventure, right? Love these companies, these families that do these weekly and sometimes daily episodes so that people come back to YouTube. Now, a lot of these they're maxing out around 20 minutes, okay? But people are only watching an average of eight minutes, all right? And this is across millions and millions of views. So keep that in mind. The best performing channels on YouTube upload 20-minute videos but only get about 8 minutes of watch time. So where does that leave you in the furniture store, or you and the social media manager, the social media marketing channel, or you and the Facebook advertising channel? Your video should be as long as it needs to be to get the value across. Keeping in mind that some videos might be 20 minutes. It might be a 20-minute tutorial. Other videos might be a 4-minute quick update. Hey, you guys might have heard the Facebook algorithm changed. Here's the things you need to know. Blah, 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 blah. 4 or 5-minute video and you get out, right? That's an example of where it needs to be. So instead of saying, oh, I need a 20-minute video or I need a 10-minute video, I would say, okay, what's the video that I need to make? And what are the points that I need to get across in this video? And let that determine how long the video should be. So if you've got this video that's coming out to be 15 minutes or 17 minutes, that's okay. But now you've got to ask yourself, is it watchable, right? Just because it's 20 minutes long and chock full of information doesn't mean it's entertaining. And YouTube, you do need to have an entertainment factor. That's what YouTube is, right? Now, I'm not saying you need to have commercial breaks in it or like a rising action. But those things help. Absolutely. You should be telling a story in some way, shape or form. You should be using psychological tools like creating open loops, right? An open loop is going to say something like, now guys, at the end, for example, like the furniture example. So you open up your video with this beautiful living room set and you're going to say, that's what the audience sees. And you say, hey, does this sound like you? You want to have a nice looking living room, but the furniture out there is just so dang affordable. Well, guys, I'm going to show you how to get a living room set just like this for a fraction of the price of major department stores. Stay tuned. It's the furniture show, right? Now, what you're doing is you've created an open loop. You've told that you've showed the audience what they could get, but you haven't showed them how. So in order to find out how, I've got to keep watching the video. And you've got to use these sort of open loops all throughout your video, or maybe cliffhangers is a better word for you. So that you're creating this desire in the mind of your viewer to continue watching. And when you do that, you're increasing your watch time. You're increasing the likelihood that YouTube will show more of your videos in the future.
Yeah, so the reason I asked you that is because a lot of the videos that I know my clients make, or I tried making some of the niches, they're informative, right? So not showing sets of anything.
Right.
And we've played with animations, but they're so time consuming and so hard to create. You know, it's not really something that can be sustained.
Feasible.
It's super hard. And then we've seen some, like in the crypto space, for example, we've seen a lot of videos with someone just talking on a webcam, which is super boring. You know, it's 20, 30 minutes. And then that's why I'm so curious, like, what is the happy medium there? Like, what kind of videos should you create when it comes to the entertainment? Because the animations are not feasible. The other ones are super boring. Like, what are your tips?
Well, my big tip for there is that I think animations are feasible if you do it right. So we provide our clients with a product that we call the Video Branding Elements. And what the Video Branding Elements are, it's a package of modular digital graphics that can easily be laid on top of your video. So imagine, you know, shooting a video with your cell phone, and now you're editing it on your computer, and you can take a pre-made lower third and just drop it into your video. And it's got your logo in it, it's got your colors in it, and it's animated and it looks fantastic. Let's say that you've got a list, you're listing things. Let me give you the top 7 reasons. Well, we've created a full screen graphic, and this is an animated graphic. So it animates, all you got to do is drag it into your timeline and it automatically animates on top of you. And you simply add your list items into that full screen graphic one at a time. And you can go into that and out of that video. And we have the Video Branding Elements includes an opening title bumper, a lower third, a blank lower third, a full screen graphic, a split screen graphic, an end card. And what these do is that these make it very easy for even a novice video editor to pull these things into your video and increase the production value. Doesn't add much time onto your editing at all because you get them made up front and then you drop them in. So that's my first suggestion. My second suggestion is, and this is going to, we did this perfectly with a crypto channel, as a matter of fact. So it's interesting you would bring up that example. You know, where we in the crypto channel, I'm a consultant on the channel. What we did was we were talking about BitConnect and it's a company in crypto and it sort of collapsed. And how do we make that, you know, a news story with, you know, making it exciting? And what we did is we edited the video. We got rid of all the ums. We got rid of all the blank spots and we just edited all those out without adding any sort of transitions in. We call this a jump cut. A jump cut is when it goes from, you know, you saying one thing to saying another, right? Without any type of smooth transition. These can make your videos move much faster. They can make your videos look a lot better. And they're more entertaining. You know, they're much more entertaining. So instead of a video that says, today we're going to be looking at the new crypto challenge, it comes out like this. Today we're going to be looking at the new crypto challenge.
Right, because you're
that makes your video far more exciting.
You're punching in a lot more.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting. Yeah, I was just wondering about that, you know, because with the animations, like the way you said it with the templates, yeah, that definitely makes sense. But just creating a whole animation around the topic, custom made every single time, is really not feasible.
Right. It's not feasible, and you can't do that. You've got to get them all made up front. And when a client comes on board with me, that's the first thing that they get, is they get these video branding elements, which then we put into all of their videos. And that might change over time. Like as soon as we do those for 6 months, maybe we'll change it up. Maybe we'll edit it up a little bit. I will have some fun with it. And all those things are totally fine.
What do you put in the description? Because you mentioned that too before.
Yeah, the description box. Okay, so the first paragraph, the first five lines of your description box should be teaser content. It should be supporting content that moves your viewer into the video, right? So they see your video in the search engine, and then they see the accompanying title text. Now you write in five lines in the video studio manager, but what the viewer on the search engine result page, it looks more like two lines. Okay. So those two lines are very important, because that's what's going to help somebody click if they're on the fence about clicking. That's number one. That's the first thing you put into your description box. After that, I would recommend that your description box become more like a menu to related or popular videos. Okay. Related or popular videos. Our studies and studies across the board have shown that highly optimized, keyword dense description boxes do not affect your ability to rank on YouTube. So don't waste your time writing these miniature blog posts. The description box should instead be a menu of similar videos that you can link out to, so that if and when somebody clicks on your description box, you're sending them to more videos. You're keeping them on YouTube, which YouTube rewards, right? YouTube sees, hey, they watched video one and then they went into videos 3, 4, and 5. Let's show video one to a whole lot more people, right? So you want your description box to be sort of functioning that way. Now, you can also use your description box as sort of a reinforcing the video. Maybe if you've got a very long tutorial, you may want to put some of your notes, your bullet point items. You can put time code in the description box. You can say something like, you know, at 3 minutes and 15 seconds, I went over to this topic. And when they click on that 3 minute and 15 second, it'll highlight in blue. When you put 3:15 in the YouTube description box, it becomes a clickable link, and your viewer can click on that link and it will automatically open the video at 3:15. So you can put these time codes that act as like stamps, as markers, to move your viewer along to the video where you want them to go. Now, you can do these things, right? These are not bad things. And I just had a comment on a video the other day that was like, oh, I wish you would have put more of this in the description box. And that's great. But at the end of the day, less than 5% of viewers even click on the description box. So we don't want to spend a ton of time there. Instead, what we want to do is use the visible parts for our benefit and, you know, build the rest around what YouTube is going to reward.
What are some ways that you do the call to action placement in the description videos?
You know what? I'll put like a link. If I have a call to action in my video, I'm usually going to put it inside the video, right? Using the card system. I'll say, click up here and you can go get my free ebook. So I'm normally going to do that inside the video rather than putting it in the description box. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call it out. I'm going to actually point. I'm going to put my finger up towards the air. I'm going to say, hey, click on the link right above here. In YouTube, I can add what's called a card. Now, you do have to have, I think, 1,000 subscribers to be able to add this. So that, you know, that might take you a little while to get there. But that becomes clickable on a desktop. It becomes clickable on mobile. You can also add what's called an end screen annotation at the end of your video. And this is, again, it's another automatic feature that YouTube provides for you. At the last 20 seconds of every video, YouTube allows you this feature called end screen annotations. And you can add a video there. You can add a link there. You can add a subscribe button there. And that's clickable on mobile, desktop, and smart TVs. So you've got a variety of different ways to place your call to action. If you don't have these things, now probably a lot of our listeners here today, because they don't have 1,000 subscribers, you have got to punch that call to action big time. You've got to say, hey, look, I've got a link for you to my free ebook. It's in the description box now. Click it, you know, go down there and click it. And if I were you, I would put it in the first five lines, right, of the video description. Now, if you do that, you know, YouTube may not show the link in the search engine ranking page. They don't want to have too many links on there. But what that does is it means that they can click on the link without having to click on the see more button, which opens up the remainder of the video description. So if you're going to add a call to action, summing up, in your description box, you want to verbally call action to it. Guys, you got to get the ebook. It's in the description box right now, limited supply. So be the first to grab it, right? And maybe even point down. Just point down. Say, guys, go in the description box and grab it. And then in the description box, it should be very close to the top.
Do you suggest any backlinks to each one of these videos, or do you hope that they just rank?
Backlinks are huge. Backlinks are huge. And that's definitely an SEO strategy that has never gone away, and it never should go away, right? What a backlink says is that other people are recommending this video, and that is going to help you drive traffic to the video, but it's also going to help you rank the video similar to how you would rank in on a Google search engine ranking page. Now, it may not be super effective to go onto Fiverr and get a Fiverr gig that just does I'll get you 5,000 backlinks. That probably won't be effective for you. But if you reach out to bloggers, companies, people with related topics, and you say, hey, here's a video your audience might like, I thought I'd send it out to you, you're going to be much more effective with that strategy.
Let's move to the paid ads. What I've seen is that different type of videos work well in Facebook when it comes to ads and in YouTube. Do you have a formula for YouTube video ads that, since that's the first thing you actually produce, that you give to your clients?
Yeah, we do. We have a scripting template, and then we have a posting template as well for running our ads. And you've got a couple different things that you've got to consider. You've got your mobile and desktop. So that's a big one, right? Is, are these ads going to be running on mobile or on desktop? And we do recommend that run those on separate campaigns. The other part of that is, are you running a pre-roll ad or are you running an in-display ad? Okay. So is this ad appearing on the side of the YouTube videos, or is this video appearing before, right? Where you've got like 5 seconds to skip, you know, that sort of thing. All of those things absolutely, absolutely matter. The final thing is, what is the first thing that the viewer hears in those videos? So we talked earlier about using your keywords in your actual video. This is going to be much more effective for you in your ad space, because if you're running an ad for Furniture Store Cincinnati, you want the first thing the viewer hears to relate to that, so that they know that they're in the right place, and it continues, you know, it gets them to continue watching. So what we do is we have our clients, first of all, we follow a very simple ad format where we're explaining the problem, we're explaining the solution, we're giving a call to action, we're giving some credibility statements, and then we repeat. But we open up the video with, you know, I might have my client film 10 different opening statements, and then we'll run 10 different ads to see which of those opening statements gets the best result for the campaign. And we'll pick the best top three performing. We'll turn off the other 7 ads and put all of our ad spend behind those 3. That's sort of our formula for getting out there.
So a great hook, getting the keywords in.
A great hook, yeah.
And then basically explain, and call to action.
Yeah, problem, solution, credibility. Hey, look, here's the problem is that you need to find great furniture at a reasonable price. Here's the solution, the best furniture store in Cincinnati. Now, credibility. Hey, we've been featured in the Chamber of Commerce top 10. Our furniture comes from only the top designers from overseas. You know, we've got a 4-star rating on our Amazon page or our Yelp reviews or whatever the case might be. You want to add some credibility statements, and then you repeat it again. You say, so if you're struggling to find the right furniture, then come on in to the number one furniture store in Cincinnati. Get your furniture today, and we'll see you here.
Last thing before we go. Once you have this ad out, what does the landing page look like? Do we make a copy of the same video, put it on the landing page, or what do you do there?
Oh my gosh, brilliant question. No, the exact opposite. They've already seen the video. Give them the thing, right? So they've already seen the video. They don't need to go see another video. That's the beauty of YouTube. A lot of times on Facebook, you've got to get, you know, you've got to get them to click a link, a video, an ad just to go watch another ad, right? On YouTube, they've already seen it. So on your landing page, you should just give them what it is that they came there for.
So no opt-ins, just give it to them.
Oh, no, no, no. You can have your opt-in for sure. What you don't need is another video or a duplicate of the video.
See, so that's what I'm asking. Would you do just the opt-in and then watch, or would you still have like an image or something and tell them to opt-in again? Like, would you have another message in there?
Yeah, I would. I would have an image of you, and it would look very similar to the video, so they know they're in the right place. I would use the same headline, right? So the same whatever sort of hook you use to bring them in to that first video, I would have that as the headline on the page, and that just creates a lot of relevancy. It makes them feel safe. So hey, I'm in the right place, and you're going to increase your conversion with that.
I think we covered a lot of stuff. I know you're short on time too. So where can people find you? And thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Guys, go check out my YouTube channel, owenvideo.net. That'll take you right to my YouTube channel. Subscribe and be a part of the conversation. I make the videos that you want to see. So if you've got questions, if you've got, you know, strategies you want to learn, let me know about them. And I look forward to you joining us on the channel. Also, check out our podcast, The Business of Video Podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We're live on Facebook every Wednesday morning talking about the things that are working in video marketing. We'd love to see you guys there.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.